So I'm honored today to be with you. Before I go into the message, there's a couple of things that I want to just bring to the body. The first one is, in case you haven't recognized, we are in a season where fear is trying to grip the hearts of the sons and daughters of God. It's being sown constantly over media. If you need to change this out, Chris, let me know. It's been sown, everything that we're seeing in media, we're hearing it from, you know, there's hatred, there's all kinds of stuff going on, but fear is the antithesis of faith, and you and I are people of faith. So let's be reminded this morning that regardless of what is going on in the world around us, we still have a God that sits on the throne. He has not been dethroned, right? And faith, moving out in faith, can eliminate fear. So I just want you to be really aware of how that fear tries to climb in right now and grab a hold, okay? Second thing I want to do this morning is I want to pray for my friend, our pastor, Pastor Anna. Many of you probably are already aware. We've been publishing it on social media. We've sent out prayer requests to our teams and to multiple teams. But Pastor Anna's son, Nicholas, was in a very, very serious accident last Sunday and suffered many, many injuries to the skull. He's still unconscious. However, within the next few days, they will likely be attempting to wake him up, which can be a very traumatic experience in itself. So what I want to do this morning with the body of Christ is I want to pray for my friend. I want to pray for our pastor, Pastor Anna. But before I do, I want to remind you of a scripture. And it's in Isaiah 45:11, I believe. And the scripture says this. It says, concerning the things of my heirs, right? Nicholas, Pastor Anna's son, is an heir. He's a son of God. Concerning the things of my heirs, the scripture invites us, it says, command ye me. What an incredible scripture. And people get like a little tripped up on that scripture. What do you mean, command God? No, command the heavens. There's an invitation in that scripture to stand in the authority that we've been given in Christ Jesus and to decree a thing. And so I'm going to ask that we stand this morning and we're going to pray for Nicholas. We're going to pray for Pastor Anna and Richard and the family and the extended family. We're going to pray for continued mercy and power to be displayed in that hospital. Amen. Amen. We want to see the power of God displayed. I want it to rock the doctors and the nurses and the technicians that are taking care of Nicholas. Amen. So, Father God, we come before you as a body of believers, knowing, my God, that you are a God who starts things and finishes things. You have an assignment on Nicholas's life, my God. He knows your word. He knows who you are. And right now, in Jesus' name, I pray for every fiber of his being to respond to what we command. We command life over him. We command long life over him. I pray for every cell, every neurotransmitter in the brain to be, for there to be accelerated healing on this young man, my God. I thank you for his purpose and his designation that has been assigned by you, and I pray in Jesus' name that he will stand again, he will declare again, he will prophesy again to those, my God, that will hear of the goodness of who you are, my God. Show forth your mercy and your power. Let there be a demonstration of your healing in his life. My God, raise him up. Raise him up, my God. I pray for every aspect of trauma that has come against his body. My God, I know that you can accelerate healing. You can do a creative miracle. I pray for the fracture in his spine to be fused by you, God. I pray that you would heal that fracture in Jesus' name. And that, my God, you would strengthen the family as they continue to walk this very difficult walk in this season. My God, I lift Richard and Anna up to you. My God, I lift the children up to you, the nieces, the nephews, the aunties, the uncles. Father, strengthen them now in Jesus' name by the power of your Holy Spirit, my God. For the fight that's at hand, we know it's a fight that's in your hands, and we trust those capable hands this morning in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Thank you for that, church. You may be seated. Let's remember to continue to keep the family in prayer as well. Amen. I want to pray, remind the body of Christ too, to pray for my other sister, my sister's sister, Kathy, Pastor Steve's sister's facing a little bit of a health challenge right now. So Kathy Pria Rosas, just pray, lift her up in prayer. She's fine. Just had a little incident yesterday. So we're just believing God to get to the bottom of that. Amen. And address that supernaturally where needed. Amen. All right. All right. So, yes, I get to continue the I See You message. And today my message is entitled, I See You, He Sees Your Heart. And, you know, I think of how many times I've heard people caught in their mess or being addressed by a friend or whatever it might be, you know, about a situation in their life, and they retort or they respond with this phrase very often. Well, you know what? You can't judge me. God sees my heart. Oh, yes, he does. Yes, he does see your heart. He sees my heart. There's nothing hidden from God, and that's actually a good thing. It's actually a good thing. It's how you and I move into a place where we can trust that no matter where we've been and what we've done, no matter where we've failed, no matter what's been done to us, there's a God who's willing to take our hearts into his hand and heal us so that we can become the worshipers that we're supposed to be. Because the Word of God says that those who worship him in spirit and in truth. There's a freedom that comes when we are completely surrendered. There's a freedom that comes when we become that kind of a worshiper. And God's designation for you and for me is to walk in freedom. Yet unfortunately, we as followers of Christ, sometimes we allow the issues of our heart to keep us from that place of freedom that God has designated for us. And everybody wants to be seen, right? Come on, we can be honest here. It's a need. It's a base need in our lives. We want to be seen and we want to be valued. It's our deepest longing is to be seen. It's our deepest longing. And yet we try to fill this longing or fill this void in so many different ways, whether it's career accolades, whether it's relationships, whether it's trophies on the shelves, whatever it might be. We need to recognize that in our lives there's things that we're carrying around. We're trying to fill a void, a longing in our lives with things that only gratify. And how many of you know that there's a difference between gratification and satisfaction? And the Word of God says only he can satisfy our souls. Okay? I want to say this, that in the Scripture, the soul and the heart are often interchanged. You can't separate the soul from the heart issues. The soul is where the emotions reside. It's where the remains of trauma and hurt and fear and insecurity, it's where those things reside. And I want to challenge you this morning as the body of Christ. We don't walk into the house of God looking to have our ears tickled. We should walk into the house of the Lord saying, Lord, I want to come to a place of surrender that I've never been at before. I want to give you access to my life. Use your word to refine me. Use your word to change me, right? Because if we come into the house of God and we leave unchanged, then there's a problem. So you and I this morning need to be in that place where we say, Lord, evaluate my heart. Evaluate my heart. Show me the things that you want me to put behind me, lay down, give up, so that I can move into the place of position and power and authority that you've called me to. Amen. So I want you to know this morning that he's pursuing your heart. He's always coming after your heart. He's always looking for an opportunity to heal areas and issues and brokenness in our heart. And we all have issues. Okay? There's no one perfect here. Pastor Steve says it all the time. There's no one walking on water here. There's only one that's perfect. So we have to continually come before him. It's not a one-time thing. It's a place, you know, that we should step into this place of evaluation where we say to him, Lord, I know that the cares of this life affect me. That yesterday's disappointment, I may have laid down a month ago, but I might have picked it up again yesterday. And God's saying you're carrying things around that you don't need to be carrying. You need to lay those things down and give me access. Amen. So if we allow these issues in our heart to rule over our lives, and come on, church, sometimes we can. Sometimes for a lifetime, people have heart issues and it rules them. It guides every decision they make. It influences every response that comes out of their mouth. There's a place of surrender that he's inviting us to today. So let's go there. Amen. Let's give him all of our hearts. Let me let you in on a little secret. He's the only one that knows how to value your heart the way that you want it to be valued. So if you're looking to your husband or you're looking to your wife, you're looking to the wrong person. God is the only one who knows how to perfectly, wholly, completely value your heart. And he's chasing you down today to prove that to you. Amen. With this word. Now, I'm blessed and honored to be able to take this pulpit on occasion, and it's always an honor to deliver his word, but I have to tell you, as I was reading this particular story in John chapter 4, so if you have your words, you can go there, that I've read over and over and over again, there were some things that God just highlighted. I got so excited. I got so excited about delivering this word today because you matter to me. And if you matter to me, how much more do you matter to God? And so I just feel like there's going to be some healing in the house this morning. Amen. So I'm going to read a couple verses here. I'm going to start with John chapter 4 and verse 4. And I'm just going to read this one verse for now. And this verse is amazing. It says, he needed to go through Samaria. How many of you ever thought about what it is that God needs? Most of us, if we're honest, well, he doesn't need anything. Well, the scripture said he needed to go through Samaria. They were headed a different direction. Him and the disciples, they were going to a different region. And something caught his attention. And in this story, what we see is we see the Father's heart revealed for the Samaritan woman. But in a sense, we need to understand that in this story, we see the Father's heart revealed for you and for me as well. Because we are that Samaritan woman. We are the disciples that were walking with him that didn't understand why he was doing what he was doing. And because of their judgmental hearts, because of their heart issues, they couldn't see the purpose of Jesus going out of his way to meet the needs of this woman who they considered trash, society overlooked. Even her own people. She hid in shame to go draw water from a well at a different time of day than the rest of the people would because of the way that she was looked upon. And so in this story, we see that God sees from afar what we ignore from up close. He sees from afar the things in our hearts that we ignore on a daily basis in our life and that we leave undealt with for whatever reason. And he goes out of his way. I want you to see that. He goes out of his way according to the scriptures. They were going one way, yet he took a detour. He broke protocol, okay? He broke protocol to minister to this woman's heart who everyone else around her saw as valueless. He saw value in this woman. He saw from afar what she was ignoring up close, and he went out of his way to bring healing to her. Why? So that she could worship him in spirit and in truth. Because when we become true worshipers, we tap into an element of freedom in our lives that God has designated for us from the beginning. And so many of us, even those of us that are sitting in these chairs in this house today, are bound. And you're thinking in your head, well, it's not me. Or you're thinking about, you know, that you're jabbing your neighbor. No, I'm talking about you, and I'm talking about me. Because if we don't come in willing to be examined and to be vulnerable, then we leave the same way we walked in. And that's not the point. That's not the point. Amen? So I love that this scripture said he needed to go through Samaria. You know why he needed to go through Samaria? He needed to go through Samaria because there was a woman with a need. He needed because she needed. Do you have a need today? Do you have an area of your heart that has been darkened because of experience, because of failure, because of rejection, because of being overlooked, because of feeling like you're not valued? Most of us do. Most of us do. It's the struggle. I'm telling you this morning, he longs for your heart. He wants your heart. He wants to reveal to you that your heart is important to him. But he wants your heart. He doesn't want what you can give him. Here's a quote out of a book that I'm reading right now. We're getting ready to do this in women's class on Wednesday night. An amazing book by Dutch Sheets. And I love this quote. I had to pull it out for this sermon. It says, God longs for the singer, not the song. God longs for the singer, not the song. Many of us are singing a song for the Lord. We're doing a song and a dance for him. And he's like, I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in your heart. I love what you do for me, but I'm not interested in that, really. What I'm interested in is your heart fully surrendered. Because when your heart is fully surrendered, you can become all that I've created you to be. When you've let go of the issues, the things that are weighing you down, then you can become powerful. You can become an influencer. You can become all of the things that you wish you would be, that I've determined for you to be, but not until you give me your heart completely. So he's not looking for the lyrics. He's not looking for the song. He's looking for your heart. And we all want someone to value our hearts. Isn't it amazing that we can search a lifetime? That's what was happening with this woman. She had 5 husbands. Don't judge her. Because I guarantee you that everybody in this room, spiritually speaking, has had 5 husbands. Spiritually speaking, we've gone the same route over and over again, trying to fill, yep, guys, I'm talking to you too. I'm talking spiritually. We marry ourselves to things, thinking they're going to satisfy us, only to find out that there's a little bit of gratification and then it's done. He values your heart, and he wants to reveal the way he values your heart. So we see a glimpse of the Father's heart when Jesus pursues this broken woman, right? He went out of his way to minister to her. 5 marriages because she longed to be seen. Jesus saw that from afar. She longs to be seen. She longs to be seen. She keeps trying to fill a void with something that will never satisfy. So I'm going to go out of my way. I'm going to break protocol. I'm going to break tradition to love her, to reveal the love of the Father for her. Amen. So I'm going to read quite a few scriptures today, but before we continue in the story, because I think the dialogue is very important, and that's where the Lord was really ministering to me, is in the dialogue. So we will be going to the scriptures. So I hope you have your Bible, whether it's on digital or in your lap. But the scripture says this in Psalm 107:9. This is our power verse for today. It says, "For he satisfies," not gratifies, "he satisfies the longing soul." And remember, soul and heart are interchangeable in the Word of God. "And the hungry soul he fills with good things." We were just singing about it. All our lives he has been faithful. All my life he has been good. He wants to fill my heart with good things. So I need to make room. I need to get rid of the junk. I need to get rid of the issues that are there so he can fill me up with what is good. Amen? So it says he needed to go through Samaria. It goes on to say that there was a woman there. There was a city. Sychar is the name of the city. There was a plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. There was a well there. And in verse 6 it says, "Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well, and it was about the 6th hour." So again, it was about the 6th hour, not the normal time for the women of the village to come and draw for water. She was trying to avoid the other women, the looks, you know, the looking down their nose, the judgments, the little whispers that would come her way. She was trying to avoid that. And it says in verse 7, "A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink.'" He was purposeful. He was purposeful. It says his disciples had gone to buy food in the city. "Then the woman of Samaria said to him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?'" Basically, she's saying, I'm but a dog. You're not supposed to be talking to me. Tradition says you're supposed to stay away from me. You're not supposed to engage a woman at a well one-on-one. You're breaking protocol. But I'm telling you this morning that you are worth God breaking protocol for. He will break protocol. He will break tradition. He will move past our religious thinking just to get to your heart. Just to get to your heart. And so we go on to read in these scriptures. "Jesus answered and said to her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him and he would have given you living water.'" So he's starting to stir this hunger in her, right? He's starting to take her to a place where she's recognizing that there's something that she's missing. And the woman said to him, Sir, you have nothing to draw with. The well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father, Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself as well as his sons and his livestock? And Jesus answered and said to her, Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water I shall give him will become a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. There's a reason that Jesus is having this conversation. He's having this conversation with you and I today. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. Jesus said to her, Go and call your husband. Do you think Jesus said that because he didn't know what was going on? He knew that she had had five husbands. He was actually purposefully going after that place in her heart that needed to be touched. He was on purpose starting a discourse that would cause her to pull the veil back so that he could get at her heart. The woman answered and said, I have no husbands. And Jesus said to her, You have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands. And the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. The woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Here we go again. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain. And you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. So Jesus is like addressing this shallow thinking, this carnal mindset that she has. That God is an external, far off God. And we do it traditionally. We do it religiously. I want to tell you this morning, I feel like God wants to address that spirit in this house. That spirit of religion that keeps us from coming into a place of full-on surrender with God, a place of intimacy that we're all longing for. God wants to break tradition off of some of us today because we traditionally, it's a tradition to come to church. We come to church, we pay our penance, and then we leave. Can I just graciously but boldly say to you, God is tired of that kind of relationship with his sons and daughters. Tired of that kind of relationship. He broke the protocol. He broke the tradition in the scripture. When he approached this woman, he did everything wrong. He did what he wasn't, it wasn't religious. It wasn't the tradition. It wasn't what they did. Some of us need to break out of that traditional religious spirit and that mindset that keeps us from being fully surrendered and experiencing the fullness of God, the full love of God in our lives. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither worship on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. What does that mean, the truth? The truth is, we can't hide anything from God. And those issues that we're carrying around in our heart are keeping us from being full-on worshipers. That unforgiveness that we're holding on to is keeping you from being a full-on worshiper. You can deny it all you want. You can try to hide it all you want. But God sees from afar what we deny up close. And he doesn't see it. He doesn't approach it. He doesn't address it to condemn you or to condemn me. He does it because he wants to show you what you're looking for is only found in him. Okay? So this discourse goes on. And the woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Revelation. Revelation, giving her revelation. And I just love it because he valued the unvalued, right? He values the unvalued. So those people that you might be overlooking in your life because you're just tired of their shenanigans, you're tired of what they've done, God values them. He's pursuing their heart still. You might have wrote them off, but God's still pursuing them, and he might just attempt to pursue them through you. And minister to your heart in the process. So he values the unvalue. In this whole discourse that he was having with this woman, what he was doing was challenging her mindset. Her mindset about worship, her mindset about God, right? All of her things were externals. Well, we worship on this mountain. You worship in Jerusalem. It was all external stuff. And God is saying, you're missing the point. You're missing the point. God wants an intimate, up-close relationship with you. And he can't have it. And it's what he wants with all of his heart. But he can't have it if you're busy trying to hide the issues of your heart, right? So he reaches in and he touches that broken area in her heart. And I love this. Verse 27, it says, and at this point his disciples came and they marveled that he talked with the woman. So you got to get this picture. So the disciples show up with the food that they went to get. And Jesus is having a conversation with this unclean woman at the well, right? This Samaritan woman, this half-breed at the well. That's what they called him back then. He's having this discourse. And the disciples, under their breath, what is he doing talking to this woman? This is not tradition. This is not what we do. They came and they marveled that he talked with this woman, yet no one asked, what do you seek or why are you talking with her? Then the woman left her water pot, went her way into the city and said to the men, come see a man who told me all things I ever did. Could this be the Christ? The point of this scripture is she dropped her pot. She dropped her pot, that pot that she was carrying in shame every day to that well, and she was trying to satisfy the thirst of her soul with water that was drawn from the well. She dropped the pot. She said, I will no longer go after what can only satisfy carnally. I want the things of the Spirit. I want this Christ. I want this relationship. Can I ask you this morning, sons and daughters of God, valued ones of the Father, are you still carrying your pot around? Some of you this morning need to drop your pot. Some of you are walking around with multiple pots and you're like, I'm so tired and I'm so weary. And God says, drop that pot. You're trying to satisfy a longing. You're trying to satisfy a need with something that only I can satisfy. I don't want you to carry that anymore. Lay it down. For some of you, I'm going to say it. It hit me first service. It just hit me again. For some of you, you know what that pot is? You've been questioning God for a real long time over something that has happened. Could be a loss, a disappointment. You're like, why, God? And you've been asking God, why for a year, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years? Let it go. Let it go. Because when you see him face to face, you're like, when I get there, I'm going to ask him. When you get there, you're going to forget all about the question. So why not forget about it now and live life to the fullest? Amen. That's what he would have for you. I'm not discounting your pain. I'm not discounting your wounds, discounting where you've been. But really, your why may have affected you your entire life. Why, God? Why did you allow this to happen? Why did you take this person from me? Why did? And God is saying, you know, it's a pot that you're carrying that you really don't, because if I gave you the answer, you wouldn't understand later. I see things different than you. My perspective is different than yours. And if you just lay the pot down, maybe joy will return. If you just lay the pot down, maybe peace will return. Maybe the fire of God that you've been wondering, where's the fire of God in my life? Maybe if you drop that pot, the fire of God would fall once again on your life. You know what he does in this discourse? He reveals to this woman that God sees her and that God wants her and that it's her heart that's important to him. And she captures this and she drops her pot. She says, I'm done with attempts to fill this void in my life with all of these carnal things. I'm done. Some of you this morning, you're in that place. You've said it. These words, these very words have come out of your mouth. I'm so done. Well, then be done. Lay it down. Lay it down. We know as the story goes on, what happened is as she began to believe this incredible love that had come to encounter her, as she began to believe that it was real, she began to use her voice. She began to speak up in the city, and she became a powerful influencer. Some of you are wondering why everybody else is so powerful and you're not. It's because you're still carrying the pot. It's because you're choosing to hold on to wounds that God already paid the price for you to heal from. And when her heart was healed, she became a powerful influencer. But there's something else that happened in this scripture. After she dropped her water pot and she went to the city, she said, "Come see a man who told me all the things. Could this be the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came to him. So all these people are coming to him. And in the process of this, some of us need to just read our word. Because when you read his word, he speaks over and over and over again. I've read this story I don't know how many times. And then they went out of the city. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." His disciples, his followers, the ones that were sitting in the chairs in the synagogue, in the church, the ones that were sitting on the hillside when he preached the message, his followers, the ones who walked with him, "Rabbi, eat." You know what he said to them? It's right here in red. He said, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." He said to me, "Daughter, I have food to eat of which you do not know." That should stir something in each and every one of us. These are the disciples. These are the ones that were walking with him. They were walking with him. They were seeing what he was doing in real time. Yet, because of their tradition and because of their religious spirit, they were busy judging this woman and questioning why he was breaking protocol to minister to her heart. And all they could come up with, they were whispering in the bed. It says in verse 27, they marveled. Psh, psh, why is he talking to her? Why? But they didn't bring that up. But they said, "You know, did you eat?" And he's like, what are you worried about food right now for? I've got food. I've got something for you that you haven't even partaken of yet. And he's speaking to his followers. So let me speak to the house of God this morning. If we think that we are outside or above the need to come to God's heart over and over and over again, we're wrong. Because he's got food that we do not know of. But he's ready to feed us. He's ready to show us that kind of love. He was going after this woman's heart. He went out of his way to go after this woman's heart. But in the process of going after the lost one, he still took time to minister to the ones that were in the fold. So I want to say to you this morning that I believe God wants to minister to you this morning. And we need to break the tradition of, you know, coming to the altars, getting emotional, and then going back to our seats the same. Let me just speak to that just for a minute since I have some minutes. I believe that we do that over and over and over again. We come to the altars, we get the goosebumps, we feel the emotion, but we never surrender. We turn around and we take it with us. But God is requiring surrender today. He's requiring surrender because we're moving into a new season in the earth. The sons and daughters, it's time for us to show up. It's time for us to show up. It's time for us to be revealed as powerful influencers. It's time for us to hold up the torch when encompassed by darkness. But when we're busy trying to hide the things that are going on in our heart, we can't hold up the torch for God the way that he wants us to. And so what does he say to these disciples? He says, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." And then the disciples, once again, they said to one another, "Did somebody else bring him lunch?" That's what it says. Somebody else must have brought him something to eat. They're still struggling with their issues. And Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me." You guys are all caught up in your tradition and your religion, but God saw this woman's heart, and he saw who she was determined to be, who she was destined to be, who she was designated to be, and he wasn't willing to just walk by and leave her untouched and unchanged. "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Can I tell you this morning that when Jesus went to the cross, thank you, Theodore, I don't know if you're still here, but he pointed this out to me after first service. When Jesus went to the cross, his words on the cross were, "It is finished." So even though we have a right to be hurt, we have a right to hold on to our grudges, we have a you also, as Pastor Davis said many, many times, you have a right to be healed. Because he finished the work for your healing on the cross. He paid a great price so that you could be healed, so you could be lifted up out of your depression. You could be lifted up out of your insecurity. You could be lifted up out of your bitterness. You could be lifted up out of your hopelessness and actually live that abundant life that he paid and he talked about that he paid so greatly for. So why don't we stand to our feet this morning? Thanks, Van. I'm going to ask, as I did in the first service, I don't know if Isaac or Travis or someone can get on the keys or not. Sometimes it's a tradition to call people to the altar because we come to the altar, as I said, we get emotional, we cry a little bit about our hurts and our pains, but I'm going to challenge you to do things differently today. I'm going to invite you to boldly leave your seats now. And make your way to this altar, boldly, not hesitant, not waiting for somebody else to do it first. Because all of us have issues. All of us have areas of our heart that have been darkened by wounds. All of us have them. Spread yourselves out at the altars, because we have time this morning. Thank you. Thank you for those of you that are boldly just taking the step. I want you to know that I'm not laying hands on anybody, maybe later, maybe after. But God specifically told me, call people to the altars and change the protocol. You are an heir. You are a son and a daughter. And if you're living beneath the promises and the declarations that God has made over your life, if you're struggling in that same area with depression, anxiety, hopelessness, struggling with your worth, wondering if you're important to God, I believe that Holy Spirit is going to point those areas out in your life if you will just be serious about the position that you've taken at these altars. This is the altar for now. It might be in your closet later on, but right now this is the altar. And God sees. God sees. And though we want the answers that we want, because we think if things happen the way we want them to, that our hearts will feel full, I'm here to tell you that might not be so. So why don't we just take a moment and be real with God? Without having the prayer team praying for you, without having, and there's nothing wrong with that, it's fantastic to have people that know how to pray. But this morning it's about you and him. And it's about that place in your heart, that pot that you may have laid down a year ago, 10 years ago, but every once in a while you pick it up again and you start carrying it, and then you wonder, man, I'm feeling a little weary, I'm feeling a little tired. And God, this morning, he's saying, why don't you just lay that pot down? Why don't you lay that bucket down? Because you don't need to pick that up. You don't need to carry that. That's not yours to carry. I'm going to carry that. And I want to come and I want to reintroduce you to supernatural joy. I want to reintroduce you to supernatural confidence, because I created you to be bold and powerful. I created you to make a difference in the world, not to stand back and wait for somebody else to do it. So this morning we stand as sisters and brothers, as sons and daughters, and we lift our voices to you, God. Pray with me, church. However you please. We lift our voices. I lift my voice to you, God. I know you see the issues that I carry. I know you see where I wander around in the desert year after year after year with the same garbage in my heart. But today, God, I know that by your word, you have highlighted areas in our hearts that you've tried to take from us before. Yet we've picked up again and again and again. And I know that you're drawing a line in the sand today, and you're saying, enough is enough. You've hid behind that hurt. You've hid behind that disappointment. And you may not like to hear it that way, but you've failed to become who I've called you to be because you've been caught up in that disappointment. And I'm asking you to lay it down now and to trust me to heal the deepest wounds of your heart so that we, so that I can become who you've created me to be, so I can walk in that supernatural peace and joy and abundance that you've assigned to my life. I recognize today that I'm literally a bullseye target for your goodness, that you desire to pour out your goodness. But if we're holding on to areas that we should be letting go of, he can't fill us with his goodness because we're full of other things. So this morning, in Jesus' name, we come to you raw and real. We've been disappointed, God. We've been betrayed, overlooked, talked about. We've suffered loss. We've been overlooked, undervalued. But today we recognize that you call us to a place of revival. And revival begins in the heart. There's a fire that I believe God is preparing to release on the body of Christ that will consume every concern and every worry, every heartache. Because it's time for the sons and daughters of God to show up in a world that needs us to demonstrate who he is. And just like Jesus demonstrated the Father's heart to the Samaritan woman, you and I are called to demonstrate the Father's heart. And if our hearts are broken, or if there's areas unsurrendered, we don't have the capacity, we're not walking in the capacity that we are called to reveal his heart to others. So Father, heal now. Heal now. Move by your Holy Spirit. Move on your sons and daughters. Take them to a place right now where you reveal to them where the wounds were exacted, things that they never even saw before. My God, show them now where it was exacted. Where did that wound come in? And help them to renounce it, to give it to you. Because there's nothing that God can't heal in that place of surrender. Not the deepest wound, not the most serious trauma, not the most serious tragedy. God is releasing healing right now over that place. That has derailed you time and time again. He's releasing healing in that place right now. I sense his spirit here in a beautiful way. But it's up to you. You're a son, you're a daughter. Sometimes we look to the minister, the one in the pulpit. You need to make the decree. I will not walk in that manner any longer. I will not walk insecure. I will not walk bitter. I will not be a broken vessel. I will recognize the price that was paid so that I can carry the full content of what he has designated for me to carry. Fill me. There it is now. Fill me with your presence. Fill me with your presence because he knows the wound. He knows the wound is fresh. But he can come in and supernaturally meet that need, that deep longing, that area of brokenness. Sweep across your sons and daughters now. Reveal yourself and your heart for them. You are good, God. You are good. Take us to the next level. Let revival come. Not externally, God, but first internally. Internally, as we surrender. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name, amen. You know, with the word of God, thank you. With the word of God comes responsibility. So I'm going to challenge you to recognize when you leave this place how the enemy will try to cause you to pick up that pot again. He comes, you know, tries to make us bitter, tries to make us insecure, tries to make us ungrateful, tries to make us frantic or in chaos. Recognize when that happens and remind the devil, I laid that pot down. I laid that pot down. I'm not picking that thing up again. I know who I am, and I know that the Father values my heart, and that's all that I need to know. Amen. Amen. God bless you, my family. Carry this word as you go and be changed, amen. Be changed by the power of his word. God bless you. God bless you. Amen.